when you pray, you always want to keep in mind that prayer is not a teaching, but that it's something practical. Because a lot of people say, well, how do I pray? You know, especially new Christians. So how do I pray? Well, one of the things that really helps me is to keep it practical. Now, I could sit there and with God and I could start discussing righteousness and, you know, the God, let me just read you a few of your verses here. And I guess I could feel pretty good about that, I suppose. But you know what really trips my trigger is when I get practical. When I take my life and discuss that with God, very practically, my problems, my joys, my needs, that's me. But then taking it out into the church where I pray for people, again, very practically. And so we find that it's difficult to turn from the doctrinal side of things to the practical side of things. Difficult. You'll find this in prayer. And think about it when you pray. Think about, well, are my prayers really hitting the mark for me? Are my prayers really hitting the mark for others? Am I really covering what I ought to be covering? Because when all is said and done, you're trying to take care of you in the church, right? Your immediate fellowship, what I'm talking about. You guys on the phone line, it could be your immediate family and then people here, because you're part of what we're doing and we're part of what you're doing in that sense. But it's always in terms of your surroundings, your spiritual surroundings. So you want to ask, well, am I hitting those marks? When all is said and done, you really want to make sure that you've got the borders up all the way around the most important areas of your life. And I would think one of the first ones would be your spiritual well-being. So make sure you pray for those people in your fellowship and their needs if you know them. And if you don't know them, speak in tongues for them. Picture that person in your mind and just speak in tongues and thank God that, well, for the next 5 minutes while I'm speaking in tongues, it's for Jerry. Or for the next 5 minutes, it's for Yanni. Or however you want to do it, he's going to get the message, okay? But have fun with it, but stay practical. Just stay practical. And I think you'll end up feeling pretty good about that. And when you teach, it's the same thing. When you teach, you could definitely just cite off some verses on righteousness. And now everybody for the thousandth time has heard about righteousness. Or you could get practical about it. And you could teach on a righteous lifestyle. See? So we're always dealing with this between doctrinal and practical, no matter what we do. And the more practical you get in your life, the more success you're going to see. In other words, the more you take God's word and apply it practically, the more positive results you're going to experience. It's wonderful thinking like that. But I noticed that we do need to think like that, and we ought to be trying to make a transition like that, not only in the way we pray, even in the way we discuss the word, but also in the way we teach. So, well, that wasn't my teaching, though. I just wanted to share that stuff. But I do want to say thank you for dialing in. Thank you for coming. It's a pleasure to have you here. It's a pleasure to stand on God's word together with you. And it's a pleasure to continue more into the subject of functioning in the body of Christ. But before we do that, we need to set some parameters. Are you guys ready to say what you can do? Let's do it in English and let's do it in Spanish. You guys on the phone line, you ought to be getting this by now. And if you don't, you can always ask Joe for the copy of the Spanish version. I think he's probably already sent it out to you, knowing him. Okay. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Let's go for the Spanish version. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Yay! Give yourselves a hand. Well, if that's as far as you get with God's word, that's a lot. When you're walking to work or driving to the store or whatever you're doing in life, walking those stairs, jogging down the block, say that stuff. Just reiterate that stuff and then throw a few verses in to back it up. Okay, and that's just going to help solidify what you think about yourself and how you function in the body. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of teaching on members in operation in the body of Christ. That teaching's posted on the website. The RDOs for February, which is almost ready to be posted, is all about let's function. And today's teaching, again, is going to be on functioning in the body of Christ. I just said let's function part two, okay, but part one's the RDOs. Well, part one could also be last week's because it's all kind of the same stuff. Functioning in the body of Christ. I want you to be really careful. You guys know how to be really careful? Every language has a phrase in it. Watch out. You know, I learned that in Japanese because I always had to tell my friends I was walking with, watch out for the traffic. Or in German or in Spanish, they all have it. Well, I'm saying watch out for something here. There's something you really need to watch out for as you're learning your function, as you're learning how to function. You need to watch out that you don't separate this whole subject of functioning in the body of Christ from all the other spiritual abilities God has given to the church. Don't put functions on a pedestal. Just like don't put the manifestations on a pedestal. Just like don't put the gift ministries on a pedestal. They're all part of what God has given to the church. Now, we could elevate some. You could say, well, I think an apostle is a bigger deal than a helps. You know, somebody that helps. Well, I guess you can do that if you want to, but I'm suggesting that you don't. I'm suggesting that you just look at it that they're all together and that's something that God's done and he didn't really intend for you to pull one out and say this is better than the rest. Can you do that? Well, I suppose you can. But should you do that? I don't think so. Your function in the body of Christ in the church is a spiritual ability. And when we talk functions, we are not talking about what you do in your secular job. We're not talking about how great you are in whatever you do out there in the world. Now, can God work in you to willing to do of his good pleasure out there? Well, you betcha. And well, he works with Karen in her artwork. He'll work with you in your job. He's not a respecter of persons, okay? But we are not talking about that when we talk about functions. When I'm talking about functions, I'm talking about something that happens in the body of Christ, in the church. That's it. Don't take it outside of the church, folks, unless you're an evangelist. And get them back in real quick. Okay? Now, why can I say that? I'd like you to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I can say that because of what 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, now concerning, spiritual, and then it has the word gifts in italics. Just take the darkest, blackest ink you have and cross that word out. Okay? Now you're left with spiritual. And that word is the Greek word pneumatikos. And it means things of a spiritual nature or spiritual matters. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now, we've been really selfish, folks. Over the years, many of us have been led to believe that verse 1 is talking about what's in verses 8, 9, and 10. What we call the 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit. And anytime we ever read verse 1, our scope of spiritual matters is limited to the 9 manifestations. But it shouldn't be, because everything written in chapter 12 is spiritual matters. So from verse 1 all the way down to verse 31, you're going to be taught about spiritual matters. And by the way, the translators did a good job in breaking that chapter up. Because it's a good break. So when you start reading things like in verse 28, and God has set some in the church, and then he lists these things, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, and so forth. They're all spiritual matters. Okay, that said, now everybody relax. Take a breath. Oh, and say to yourself, I think I understand what he just said. Everybody say that? Okay. Got everybody with me. Whatever function you do in the church, it is a spiritual matter. Let it sink in. Whatever function you do in the church, it is a spiritual matter. Well, what could you do? Quite honestly, anything. Now, there are many listed, but there's also many that fall under the category of ministries or helps. They're just not all there. It's just whatever's needed is going to be there. But when you're functioning in the church spiritually, it is a spiritual ability, which should tell you something. The functions, the spiritual things that you can do as a functioning member in the church are not natural abilities, although they can piggyback off of them at times, and they are not secular abilities in a secular situation. In other words, while you're sitting at your job typing on the computer, that function doesn't apply there, because it's not the church. It's not in the church. Now, you could be functioning in the church in front of a computer. Now, that's different. Okay? But I want you to understand that there's a boundary set up around all these functions. It's just like when I taught good works. When I, in my book, The Grace of Giving. And the list just goes on forever. A good work is anything good you do for somebody. You just can't, you can't list them all. And you're going to be rewarded for those. But abundant sharing is not a good work. Okay? Well, abundant sharing is a good work. I don't want to go into that. The idea is that abundant, there's a category there and there's a scope there too. And so I want you to understand that with these functions are very specifically in the church. Good works are in the church for the most part, but you can do them outside of the church too. And that's where it's a little different. But they both have these ongoing lists that you could probably never complete. And what I want you to understand out of this is that your function in the church is a spiritual ability. So there's lots of spiritual abilities given. Now, this is an interesting thing because there's groups of people that teach that the manifestations, they call them gifts of Holy Spirit. I won't because of what it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit doesn't say but the gift of the Spirit. It says the manifestation of the Spirit. But these manifestations of the Spirit, they, first of all, those are the only spiritual abilities or spiritual gifts they talk about. They're not gifts, though. I hate using that word, but I have to use it so you know what I'm saying because of what it says in verse 1. But they limit it to that. And then they say that not everybody can do all of those because of how poorly the translators translated those verses that list the nine manifestations. 4 to 1 is given, 4 to another is given, and they make you think that not everybody can do all of them. We have a real problem, though, if we're going to say that chapter 12 is all about spiritual matters and we get down to helps and governments and stuff like that, and then they apply the same rule. If you get down to this, to our all apostles, well, it says God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets in verse 28, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. You have to apply the same rule all the way through if you're going to go with their logic. But I'm here to tell you that God has set these things up in the church so that the whole church can function. And everybody has the ability to do whatever is needed. It would be a real sad state of affairs if nobody could speak in tongues, and nobody could speak in tongues and interpret, and nobody could prophesy, and nobody could do gifts of healing, and nobody could bring forth word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, and so forth. And we didn't have any apostles or any prophets or any teachers or any governments, or any helps, or any workers of miracles, or anything. What would happen if we just happened to be in that part of the world where none of those were there? Based on the logic that some people use, that you may not be able to do any of these. What if all of you were of that sort, that none of you could do any of these? Well, the church would be belly up. The church would be dead. But that's not how it works, because man doesn't decide. God has already decided that he's put these abilities into the church, and whenever they're needed, they're there. They're there. Whenever something is needed, it's there. Whenever an apostle is needed, he's there. Whenever a prophet is needed, he's there. Whenever a help is needed, it's there. They're all there, and the potential for them to be at any given place, at any given time, depending on the need, always exists. It's always there. You can't say that God didn't do that. You have to say that he did, and it's all based on this, because God doesn't want us ignorant of these spiritual matters. It says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Every man means everyone, every single person. These manifestations, and these are only part of those spiritual things, just in part, everybody has the ability to do them. That's what it says. It says in verse 11, But these all worketh that one and the self same spirit, dividing to every man his own as he will. Every person has to will if you want to actually manifest. Now, I know the other group, there's other groups that teach that this is God's will, but it's not. Not if you know pronouns. Not if you understand pronouns. And I study languages a lot. And I know that that he refers back to man. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame spirit, dividing to every man his own severally as he, the man, wills. It has to relate to the closest antecedent noun. And so what we're looking at is that God has given these spiritual abilities, plus the rest of them as needed, to the church. But if they're ever going to be manifested, that individual has to believe to do it, has to will to do it. If you can't see yourself helping in the church, then you're not going to help. If you can't see yourself being a director in the church, so to speak, governments, it means ones that helps direct, then you're not going to do it. If you can't see yourself doing a particular function in the church, visually seeing yourself, teaching, then you're not going to teach. You are just not going to do it. It's as he wills. You have to will to do this. You have to will and believe. You know that verse where it says that God has dealt every man the same measure of faith? That's all talking about functioning in the church. The whole context of that in Romans, that's what I taught last week, and that's a teaching that's available now on the internet. But it's in the context of functioning in the church, being a member. Well, God's dealt to every man. It's all there, but you have to believe. What is it going to take? Now, one of the assignments I gave you last week, I said, I want you to go figure out, what is it? What's your function? I mean, you reside in a particular fellowship of some sort today. You fellowship with the RBRC, Richardson Biblical Research Center, whether near or far. It doesn't matter where you are, but you have a function. God has actually given you an ability to use in the church. And I asked her, I said, now I want you to go away, I want you to figure it out. Has anybody figured it out? Did anybody come up with something that they really believe that God gave them a function in the church? Has anybody done that yet? What'd you come up with, Joe? To help teach others the greatness of God's word. Anybody else? I'm giving you that assignment again. You guys sadden me. Now, some of you weren't here. But I really expect you to do this, because this part that I'm talking about, this whole function, it's dead. It's dead in the church, in our church. It's dead. And it needs to come alive. You can't just sit there. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm forcing you, okay? I'm going to force you. I'm going to say, you have to do it. And I know you're sweating. Jose, what'd you come up with? Oh, I'm not saying you have to tell me now. But you got to come back next week now with it, okay? What, Jose?
Well, one of the things I know is that I can bless people, exhorting them with songs. And I also know that I have some ability to teach. And well, we have a great teacher right now, so we don't have any in this moment. But when the need arises, especially in Spanish, I'm able and I'm willing to do that.
That's great. Jose said music and teaching, especially in Spanish. And he brought up a really great point. When the need arises. Now, right now I'm up here, so we don't have a need for somebody else to be teaching in the same room, okay? If we split our fellowships and made them smaller, then you'd have to have several teachers, okay? It's all based on need. And whenever the needs show up, then so do these functions. But you've got to remember, you have to be willing. You have to believe. And if you can't see you as being a teacher or as assisting in helps or overseeing and helping direct in governments or healing with gifts of healing or pastoring or being a prophet or whatever else it is, you will never do it. You could be filled with everything, but doing nothing. And these are so foundational, and I've belabored them probably more than enough. But I just have to continue stressing this. And then the other thing that I want you to understand is that everything discussed in chapter 12 regards spiritual matters. Everything. And so if you're going to tell me that you're a help, okay, in the church, you have to understand that we're talking about a spiritual ability called a help. Okay? Wow. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Okay? Well, the Bible says that we're all members in particular. And then also, and I think I already read that to you last week, but turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You're there. And I'll show you verse 18. I wanted to say one thing before I read that. Piggybacking off of last week's teaching, I want you to understand that the focus of these discussions in chapter 12 and Romans and even Ephesians, when you're talking about what you can do, it's not on being a member in the body of Christ as much as it is on the office that you hold as a member. And that word office means function, okay? So the focus has to be on the functioning. We already know that we're members in the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, we read, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him." He set the members. The members are set in the body. He did it. God set the members. You didn't. Just like with your physical body, he put your heart where it is, he put your kidneys, your liver, he put everything where they are. And that pleased him. In the body of Christ, the same rule applies. When you became a member, he put you somewhere. Don't ask me where. But with your membership comes the ability to function. And that's what's truly unique. And so when I read about members being placed, I automatically think function. I automatically think, well, what is that member doing? Like, if we talk about the members of the human body, you know, there's a lot of different things. You got hands and feet and ears and eyes and hearts and everything else. But I tend to think, well, what do they do? The practical side of it. What do they do? And the same in the spiritual. So God hath set these members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So where he put those members, that's his business. And you really don't have to think a lot about that, okay? Just know that God put the members where he wanted them. So we've learned that God has done some setting. We learned that God set these functions via the members as it has pleased him. Because every member has a function. So he put that wherever he wanted it. And that spiritual ability was given by God. The nature of it dictates that. If it's a spiritual ability, it has to come from a spiritual source. Okay? God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We talked about that last week, and I mentioned it earlier today. And then finally, God has set the members of the body of Christ in the church. And I want to read that one to you. And these are three foundation stones for this teaching. Verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, "And God hath set some in the church." And then he lists these different things. First, and by the way, that word first is talking about in time, not importance. Apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, then, and that word then means afterwards, after he did these in time, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, and so forth. And God hath set some in the church. Now, we've read over that a million times, I bet. But I want you to understand that members were set in the body of Christ, and these functions were set in the church. You see the words "in the church" there? The functions were set in the church. In verse 18, the members were set in the body. So just as the members were set in the body when you got born again, in your church, in your fellowship, the functions, that's where the function were set. So you've got you in the body and then your function in the church. So overall, we make up the body of Christ, but individually, in the church, we function. And God set both of those, two separate settings. He set the members in the body. He set the functions in the church. Two separate things. That's a big deal, folks. I know this is kind of heavy, but we're wedging into this stuff because I want you to see where it really fits. I want you to get a good feel of it. I want you to understand that when you come to fellowship, you got a job to do. Now, you don't have to just be at fellowship, because we're alive all day long. So you got functions to do. I don't care what age you are. I should have brought it. I've got a Bible that's over 100 years old. I bought it over in Germany. And I also have one that my mom gave me that's at least 100 years old, I'd say. They both look like they're falling apart. They are as old as the hills. But I can still open that Bible and read every verse. It still functions perfectly. I can read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2 and 3 and on and on and on. So I don't care how old you are, and I don't care how young you are, because you know you can open up a new Bible and read it, right? You still have a function in the church. You have a function, and you will always be able to do your function. You just will. Why? Because it's a spiritual ability. We live in a spiritually deaf and dumb world. And that's why this stuff is hard for you to sit here and listen to. I know it is. I know how you feel. I can feel it. But I'm telling you, you got to learn this. If you really want to take the church to where it's supposed to be, it's got to have feet. It's got to have legs. You're the feet. You're the legs. You're the hands. You're the arms of the church. And if you're not walking and moving and grooving to the sound of that spiritual beat, it's going nowhere. And that's why you can have a spiritually dead church. And so I'm asking every one of you to search your soul. Look within. God's dealt to you, it says, the measure of faith. You've got it. Which means every one of you can believe, as he wills, to manifest not only the nine manifestations, but also your function, your spiritual function. I don't want you just sitting around doing nothing. I want to see those spiritual toes wiggling. I want to hear the creak in that knee as that movement takes place. I want to see that hand reach out and bless somebody. And I know every one of you've got some of this stuff in you. And it's time. So you can be all wrapped up in the world if you want. And all the pains and pressures and problems. Or you can be all wrapped up in the church. And this is totally out of balance in our society. But I'm here to say that you ought to be wrapped up in the church. You ought to be wrapped up as a spiritual man, as a spiritual woman. You ought to be. Now, why wouldn't you want to be? I know you want to be. I know you want to be. I know you're sitting there thinking, gosh, I want to be. Well, don't end up being a wannabe. Be somebody that does it. You believe. You imagineer. They teach this stuff in sports. Imagine making that touchdown, right? You sit there and you dream about it. I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. I did it. And the points show up on the scoreboard. And you do that over and over. Pretty soon you're on the field doing it. Don't be a spiritual wannabe. Be a mover. Be a groover. Be a functioner. Function in the body. You function. Oh, I know you're grabbing for straws here and you're going, but what do I do? Reach out and love somebody. Start. It's like when you first spoke in tongues, you know. Oh my gosh, how many of you went through this where you, when am I going to speak in tongues, you know? All these people around me speak in tongues, but when am I going to do it? Where am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? And you went through all this consternation, and then finally one day, you did it. And then you went to every place where you couldn't do it just to prove you really could do it there. And you got the first drop, and then the second, and then the third, then the fourth. Folks, these things are no different. They're all spiritual abilities, and I'm pleading. I'm begging. Start. Get the first drop. You've got a knowingness within you that you can contribute, that you can do, that there's a need. It always is service. These are all about service. It's all about serving the bread of life, serving God's word, taking care of people, helping, it coming out of yourself, but being in service. Okay? It's kind of like the old elevator. The last elevator you ever want to go up to is the one that says, out of service. And most Christians today are out of service. You want to have a big in-service sign up, flashing lights, everything, music playing, man, the beat's moving. That's what you want. I want to see an in-service sign on the chest and the back of everyone. You see, this is what you have to see, though. But this is what we're doing. It's new. It's new to some of you. It's not new to me, but it could be new to you. And if you want to stop grabbing for straws, which one am I going to get? Is there even one there for me? Will everybody get all the straws before the hand comes around to me? I hope I don't get the shortest one. You know, grabbing for straws. Call me someday, I'll tell you. First drop. Second drop. Third drop. It might take you time to... It won't take time for that spiritual ability to work, but it might take you time to believe. It won't take time for that spiritual ability to get better. That kind of contradicts the term spiritual ability. But it might take you time to see yourself in that role. Maybe you've been a recluse. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you don't care about people. Maybe you've got a lot of problems. But whatever it is, when you learn to climb up and out of where you are by seeing you being able to perform, then that spiritual ability will be fully allowed to manifest. Oh, it's there. Oh, it's there. But you got to see, you've done this. Their boss comes up and says, hey, I want you to run the meeting. I can't be there. And you choke. What? Run a meeting? You know, and you've never seen yourself as running a meeting, but you've always dreamed, well, maybe someday I'll get a job like that. I don't know. You got something going on in your head. And then you're standing in front of all those people and you realize I'm running the meeting. And then you realize you're not croaking. You're not choking. You're not dying up there. In fact, people are paying attention to you. They're actually listening. And so then you go, well, I'm going to say a little bit more. And they listen a little bit more. And then all of a sudden you got an idea. Well, I better tell this person they got to do that because it's pretty obvious. And all this stuff starts clicking and rolling and moving and grooving and you're meeting it. And pretty soon everybody's happy. You got your job done, the meeting's over, and your boss comes up and says, good, now you can do them from now on. But you've developed like that. You've seen things in your life where you've had to develop. And the first time you took the first step in, whether it's jumping into a swimming pool the first day of the season or making that first play in the football game, the first one of the year, or running a meeting, you've all experienced this. I know you have. You want to sell lemonade as a kid, and you don't know how to do it. And then you're afraid to go stand out there. And mom says, no, just go stand. They'll stop. You know, everybody's gone through this at some point in their life. Spiritually, the same is true. That's why it's so easy to do. You just have to get rid of the bricks, the walls that you've built, preventing you from functioning in the church. God set the functions via the members that it has pleased him. God has dealt, apportioned, the same measure of faith in everyone. You all have the ability to believe. And God has set the members of the body of Christ in the church as it has pleased him. I could stop here if you want. Do you guys want me to stop? What time is it? 11:45. Do you want me to go on a little bit more?
Yeah, we only recorded 14.
Okay. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Honey? Huh? My wife's always sitting over here kicking me in the leg. Okay. That's okay. Gary, you know what that's like. All right. Well, listen, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Ow! No, sorry, Gary. I want you to enter a new life. You have been, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't fit, please don't try to put it on. But for the most part, you may have been spiritually deceased in your life. And what I mean by that is you really don't do spiritual things. You're maybe a better term is you're a carnal Christian. You ever felt like that? Gosh, I wish I was more spiritual. I wish more spiritual things were happening in me and around me. You ever felt like a carnal Christian, a wannabe? Well, this is how you break out of that. Because at your fingertips, within the depth of your soul, you have a spiritual ability, at least one. When I was telling my wife about this last week, she says, well, we can do more than one. I said, yeah, but I wanted to just get one going first, okay? But you could have more. How do I know that? I'm going to show you something. You know how I taught you God set? God set the members. God set the functions. God dealt the measure of faith. Let me tell you, when he does something like that, he means business. For instance, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. So God put them all up there. He set them. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Who set them? God set them. I'd say that God set those lights in the heavens as it had pleased him. He did it with a purpose. I think that's really something. Well, we know that God set the members and their functions in the body as it pleased him, not only in the human body, but also in the spiritual body of Christ. How and where the members are placed is God's business. It just is. You can just walk away from that one. It just is. It is not possible to control the setting of the members, where the members are set. It's not possible. And this aspect of the members, in other words, where they were set, of you messing with that, it's as much out of reach as you messing with where the stars in heaven are set. You just can't touch it. You can't touch where God set the members, and you can't touch the abilities that God has given to a functioning member. Turn to Psalm 136. No matter how much you want to, you can't change Orion. You can't change where the North Star is. You can't change where the planets are. You can't move the moon. You just can't. And you know, one of the things that I gleaned out of this, I thought I'd tell you too, is that the stars are dependent on the sun and the moon as their sources of light. But the sun is dependent on God. The S-U-N is dependent on God, because God can turn it off if he wants. He's done that before. And so those stars and their functions, whatever they are, all have a greater dependency. Just like your function in the body of Christ in the church has a greater dependency. This is what's so marvelous about it. And this is why you don't have to go and get all in a tizzy trying to figure out what your function is. When there's a need and your eye opens up to, hey, let me jump in, there it is. And God's going to be right there with you, no matter what it is. But you have to be willing. If you want to just sit in the chair, nothing to happen. You have to will. You have to believe. You have to imagine this. You should love that verse in Romans 12, 2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove if you're going to prove God's perfect will, which, by the way, is set in the context of those functions in the church, you're going to have to believe. If you want to be transformed, you're going to have to will. This is just marvelous to see how these words all fit together. Well, we learn that the light's rule, according to Psalm 136, verse 7, to him that made great lights and his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. God set them up like that. And in Isaiah chapter 13, God set it all up like that. Isaiah 13. They have their job to do. And what's neat about it, the stars are always doing the same job. You'll find that people in the church, members in the church, keep their same functions a lot. Now, they could change depending on the need. They might get a couple more added on to what they're already doing. But just like the stars, they're just up there every night functioning. They're set. And when God sets you, when he sets your function, it's set. You have the right to think like that. And if you think you want your function to change every day because you just always got to have a lot of activity, well, maybe you just ought to watch TV. What do they change scenes about every second now? But you don't have to. Well, in Isaiah 13, this is an interesting prophecy, but God's the one that controls all this, and he will one day. Isaiah 13:10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. But they do right now. And the only one that can turn that off is God. So God is the source of all of that. Turn to Jeremiah 31. And so God is the source of your ability. Jesus Christ's role is as the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And when you see a word like that, head, you ought to be thinking member. And there's nothing you can do about that. He's the head. But what does a head do? Figuratively, a head thinks, right? A head's got the brains. But what are the brains for? If you're talking the human body, it's all connected. So that brain helps the heart to function, the liver to function, the hands to move, the feet to twitch, all of that. It's directly connected. Its purpose is directly related to everything else in the body. And so in the body of Christ, it's the same way. You've got the head of Christ, Jesus Christ, as the head of the church. And he's directly connected to every member who functions. So when you are functioning, you've got a direct connection to Jesus Christ, the brain. And how you function comes from Christ as the head. That you have a function came from God, because God set these in the church. If you think Jesus Christ is God, you're going to get up and leave, I guess, by now. But they have different roles. God sets it in the church. I've already read it to you, verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12. But Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And the head functions in a body a very specific way. And just like the head functions in the human body, with all your members in your human body, so does Christ with the members in the body of Christ and their functions. My brain works with my hands. Remember last week my arms were flapping? Let me do that again? I won't do it again. You had to be there. But the idea is that your brain, even though you tell it to do it, it's telling your hand to do stuff. If you're moving your fingers, or you're blinking your eyes, or you're licking your lips, your brain is allowing that all to happen. Even though your will took over and said, do it, your brain still had to send all the signals. You know how that works. Jesus Christ is the same way with the members in the church. God set you as a member somewhere. That's his business of where you are. You may never figure it out if you try. You may. I don't know. You're here right now. That's good enough for me. And then you have a function. I won't see what that function is until it's manifested. Okay. But when you choose to will and to believe, Jesus Christ is working directly with you at that moment, because he's the brains of the operation. Now, isn't that cool? So you're just getting the information, whatever you need. The signals, whatever it takes. It all just works like that. You don't sit there and pray to Jesus. The Bible never tells us to do that. You don't have to coax him on. You don't sit there in conversations with Jesus Christ. The Word doesn't teach that. The only thing I know that teaches is that if the situation warrants it, Jesus Christ to come and visit you, you'll see him, and then you can have a conversation with him. That's as close as you get to talking to Jesus in the Bible. Well, now you could go down to your local churches and they're talking to him all the time. But I can't say they're really getting through, because it's not biblical. You don't pray to Jesus. You're not talking to Jesus. He's the brains of the operation. He's the head of the church, and he's directly connected to you as a member in the body of Christ. And if you're functioning, y'all got something going on. Let me just keep it at that, okay? But who put you there? God. Didn't it say God? It didn't say Jesus, did it? Right. So you're starting to see this separation. I just hope you trust the Word. All I'm doing is piloting you to the right places. Well, in Jeremiah 31, 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. God's the one that did that. Well, we're just learning about what these little guys do, the moon and the stars. Now we learn that they divide the sea when the waves thereof roar. And so the moon and the stars are what cause all the waves. How about 1 Corinthians 15? Verse 40. There are also celestial bodies, those are ones up in heaven, and bodies terrestrial, those on earth. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. They all have different glories. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Wow. Every function in the body has its own glory too. God set it there. It's a spiritual ability, so it's got to have God's glory attached to it. And every one of them are uniquely glorified. That's why it's so special to you. That's why it's so important that you see yourself doing this stuff. Revelation chapter 12. Learning what those old things do up there, the stars in heaven and such. Revelation 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now these are stars up there that show this. A constellation we read about in the Old Testament. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. All these stars tell a story. They're all prophecy about what's going to happen, or some of it what has happened. Like, for instance, in verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. That's what Lucifer did when he fought against God. He took 1/3 of the angels. 1/3 of the part of heaven? He took 1/3 of the angels. That's what that means. And they're cast down to earth. Those are those nasty little devil spirits you got to deal with today. Okay. So, again, I would encourage you, don't try to change where God has positioned the members. And don't try to change where God has placed the functioning members in the church. What can you do with these stars? We've been looking at stars. I showed you several verses on stars. What can you do with these stars? Well, you can observe them when it's night, or if you have a powerful enough telescope, if you're in viewing distance, you can benefit from their functions, whatever they're doing. Well, what are their primary functions? Well, they give light unto the earth. We read that. They rule over the day and night by dividing the light from the darkness. We read that. The moon and the stars light the night and divide the sea with the waves. We read that. They manifest God's glory, a glory that God has given to them each individually. And you know how beautiful stars are to look at. It's like they're all different, and yet they're just lights. But they're all different. It's amazing how it works. Wow, can you imagine what the functions in the body of Christ are like as they come alive? What else do those stars do? They scribe stories in the heavens. It's like a heavenly book. And there's books written on the Word of God in the stars. The Witness of the Stars is one. It's a great book. Describes all the constellations from a biblical perspective. Just amazing. Well, God said each of these as it has pleased him. And he did the same thing with the members of the body of Christ and their functions. No matter how much you want to, you can't change the position of them. And each function in the body is entirely dependent upon God and Jesus Christ being the head of the church. A function can be observed as long as it is within viewing distance. And their design is to bring that spiritual light into the church. Wouldn't you call spiritual ability spiritual light? Well, anything godly is going to be light. Anything devilish is going to be dark. You see that contrasted a lot in the Bible. So their design is to give spiritual light to the church on earth. In terms of how the church members function together, they rule over the church. Just like the sun and the moon rule over the earth. They constantly speak of God's glory upon man. Glory given to each man individually as it has pleased God. They function together, writing a continuing saga of Christ's life and love to mankind. So, let's function together. We'll talk more about this. But let's function together. Let's really dream this. Let's expand what we call spiritual matters. And let's expand that number from 9 to 109, 1,009, 1,000,009. Let's not be so narrow-minded that we think that the only spiritual activity in the church is limited to 9 manifestations listed in 1 Corinthians 12. But let's expand that to all the others throughout that entire chapter and the other sections in the Bible. And let's realize that this is opening a new era in Christianity. Because God has set the members in the body of Christ as it has pleased Him. He's dealt to man the same measure of faith. He's given you the ability to believe, and you can will to do these. And He set all the functions actually in the church. Everything's set. The stage is set. The lights are coming on. But where are the actors? We've got the scripts written. We've got all the props we need. But where are the actors? You're the actors. You're the ones that fill that role. So let's function together. Let's dream about this. Let's think about this. And let's open up a whole new spiritual vista of understanding and activity in our lives. And then when we say, gosh, I wish I could be more spiritual, well, you won't have to say that. You won't be a spiritual wannabe anymore. You'll actually be functioning. You'll know that you're functioning. You'll feel that you're functioning. You'll realize that you're functioning, and so will others. There's a sympathy that takes place in the body of Christ. And I use that word feeling deliberately. There's a sympathy when one member suffers, and it's not suffering, but it means feels something. Then we all together feel it. That's what it's really talking about. It could be pain, but it could be joy. When we're working together in harmony, functioning together, all the needs are taken care of. You see it in the book of Acts, the first couple chapters. They had all things common. That's more than just their house and their car. They had the whole body working together. The spiritual abilities were all energized and everybody was caring for everybody. Well, we have the right to see that again today. And so I say, let's function. And let's keep it within the church. Let's keep it where it belongs. And then you'll really see Christ as the head. And you'll see God as the one who set everything. All right?